This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله، بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة، تركهم على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك، صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه. عباد الله، يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، All praise is due to Allah. We seek His guidance and His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the whispering of our desires. Whom Allah guides, no one can misguide, and whom He allows to be misled, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone, having no partners, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and His messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, O you who believe, fear Allah as He deserves to be feared, and do not die except in a state of Islam. And Allah says, O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from one soul, and produced from that soul its mate, and made from their combination many men and women. So fear your Lord whom you ask each other by, and by the ties of kinship. Verily Allah is ever watchful over you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who have believed, fear Allah and say that which is correct. He will correct for you your deeds and forgive you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His messenger, then they are indeed victorious. To proceed, these three verses that I began are used to begin the majority of the khutbas that you have heard in your lifetime. And so a question to be asked is, what is it about these verses? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih. Ya ayyuha an-nas taqu rabbakum. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. These verses that you hear in khutbatul haja, at the introduction of khutab all over the world, what are they calling people to? And what is the commonality between these verses? You will clearly see that one defining commonality between these verses is the command for taqwa. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah. Ya ayyuha an-nas taqu rabbakum. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. The command for taqwa. This attribute of taqwa is something that I wanted to spend this brief khutbah on, because not only is it at the introduction of the khutbah, but it is the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands mankind most to have in the Quran. It is the thing that the Prophet ﷺ said enters people into Jannah the most are two things, taqwa and husnul khuluq, taqwa and good character. So the question then becomes, what is taqwa in the first place? And then number two, what are the virtues of taqwa? Why have it? And then number three, how do I acquire it? These are the three questions, inshallah ta'ala, that we are going to answer in this khutbah, or we're going to present in this khutbah. As for what is taqwa, that was not something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined for us. Taqwa comes from the idea of protecting yourself, a wiqaya, shielding yourself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum translated taqwa in different ways. And so Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he asked Ubay radiallahu anhu, what is taqwa? He asked him, what is taqwa? And he said, Amirul Mu'mineen, did you ever walk in a thorny path? And he said, yes. He said, what did you do when you were walking down a path that was filled with thorns? He said, Shamartu wajtahat. He said, I gathered my robes and I brought them close to me, and I was careful where I walked. He said, that is what taqwa is. Taqwa is that you don't be loose. Tighten your clothes around you. Don't be loose with your tongue. Don't be loose with your gaze. Don't be loose with your actions. That you be precise, that you're aware of what you're doing. And number two, that you be cautious. He said, that is taqwa. That is taqwa. And one of the poets codified this, and he says, دَعِ الذُّنُوبَ كَبِيرُهَا وَسَغِيرُهَا ذَاكَ التُّقَى وَاصْنَعْ كَمَاشٍ فِي أَرْضِ الشَّوْكِ يَحْذَرُ مَا يَرَى لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ صَغِيرًا إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحَصَى. He said, leave all sins, the small and the great. That is what taqwa is. And be like someone who's walking in a thorny path, careful as to where they walked. And he said, don't belittle small sins. Verily, mountains are made out of pebbles. And so number one, we have the definition that was given to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Then we have number two, we have Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu defining what taqwa is. And he said, التقوى الخوف من الجليل والعمل بالتنزيل والرضا بالقليل والاستعداد ليوم الرحيل. He said that taqwa is that you fear the sublime, the majestic, that you fear Allah. And then number two, taqwa is that you act in accordance to revelation. And then number three, he said it is to be content with little. And number four, it is to prepare for the day of departure. That is what taqwa is. Talq ibn Habib was not a companion, but from the tabi'een. He gave a beautiful definition of taqwa. He was asked by his students, or rather he told his students, he says, إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتَنْ فَرُدُّوهَا بِالتَّقْوَى. He says, if trials happen, tests happen, fitna happens in a community, he says, repel that fitna with taqwa. They said, what is taqwa? He said, what is taqwa? And he said, التَّقْوَى is to do that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon a light from Allah, عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, and to avoid what Allah has prohibited, upon a light from Allah, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from his punishment. And so to do what Allah has commanded, that requires knowledge. Upon a light from Allah, that's revelation. Seeking the reward of Allah, that's ikhlas. I'm not doing it for the reward of people, I'm doing it for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to avoid what Allah has prohibited, upon a light from Allah, revelation also, fearing the punishment of Allah, not fearing the criticism of those who criticize, but doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, if that is the meaning of taqwa, then what are the virtues of taqwa? The virtues of taqwa are many. The virtues of taqwa are many. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Right at the beginning of the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you in Surah Al-Fatiha are asking Allah and you're saying, اِهْدِينَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide me the straight path, the rest of the Qur'an is coming as a response to your dua. You are asking Allah for the straight path, and here is the book. This is the guidance manual. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is the book about which there is no doubt, but it is guidance for the people of taqwa. So the first benefit of taqwa is that it gives you access to benefit from the Qur'an. Does that mean that the people of taqwa have to be those who are perfect? No. Can the people of taqwa commit sins? Yes. Can the people of taqwa commit major sins? Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Ali Imran, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah says, race to the forgiveness of your Lord and paradise that is equal to the heavens and the earth that has been prepared for the people of taqwa. What are their characteristics? Those who give charity, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they forgive and they overlook and they show excellence. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكْرُوا اللَّهُ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah says, and those who, if they commit a fahisha, they commit a major indecency, they don't continue. He says, ذَكَرُوا اللَّهُ, they remember Allah. But this is still a description of the muttaqeen. ذَكَرُوا اللَّهُ, and they seek forgiveness for their sins. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا, and they do not insist upon what they did. There could be a mistake, they could fall, but they get up, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't continue, they seek forgiveness and they move on. And that does not expel them from being of the category of the muttaqeen. That does not expel them from being of the category of the muttaqeen. In fact, in one of the greatest hadith of virtue, a hadith that many of us have heard many times before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have 7 categories of people in His shade on the day where there is no shade except for His shade. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, number 1 is Malikun Adil, a just ruler. Number 2 is Shabun Nasha'a fi ibadatillah, a young man who grew up in the worship of Allah, or a young woman. Number 3, a man whose heart is attached to the masjid. Number 4, a man who is invited by a woman who is beautiful and has a great lineage, and he says to her, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 5, a person who gives in charity so secretly that his left hand doesn't know what his right hand gave. A 6th person is a person who, 2 people who loved each other for the sake of Allah, they gathered upon that and they separated upon that. And number 7 is a man who remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in solitude, and so his eye teared from the mentioning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all by himself. These 7 are in the category of those who are shaded under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. What is the common thread between all of these 7 categories? It is the thread of taqwa. They all had taqwa of Allah. The king had taqwa of Allah when there was no person for them to fear anymore, because they are the highest, they're the boss, they're the ruler. They still feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that forced them to be just. And the young person feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when they were living at a time of their life when passions walk with young people, and that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَعْجَبُ مِنْ شَابٍ لَيْسَتْ لَهُ صَبْوَةٌ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is amazed at a young person who doesn't have an inclination to their base desires. Being young, wild, and free. That attitude, that person who restrains themselves and commits to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during those turbulent years of their life. Number 3, a person whose heart is attached to the masjid, the place of taqwa, coming back and forth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and loving the place where they are reminded of the taqwa of Allah. And then of course, number 4, a person who's invited to a private company of the opposite gender, and that is taqwa that keeps them away. And then number 5, a person who gives in charity that is propelled by their taqwa. And the 6, 2 people who love each other. These are the people of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on the Day of Judgment, al-akhilla, on the Day of Judgment, all of them will be enemies to one another, close friends, except for al-muttaqeen. Those people whose love was based on taqwa, that is the true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will be of benefit on the Day of Judgment. And then the 7th is a person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala privately, and so their eye tears. Taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no characteristic that a person can have that will bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, heavy on their scales, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, more than the taqwa of Allah. And number 2 is good character. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Mu'adh ibn Jabal, you know when you're bidding someone farewell and you want to give them advice, soon in a month's time, Some of us will be sending our kids to college for the first time. They'll be going and living in Dallas, or they'll be going and living in Austin, or they'll be going and living in College Station. And you want to give them advice, like, what do you do? What do you tell them? What's one piece of advice that you can give them for that'll hold them down, hopefully, for a year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years until they come back? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and Mu'adh was being sent to be a judge over Yemen. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, he says, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُ. Fear Allah wherever you are. Have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. If there's one thing that I can tell you, it's have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. And then number two, وَاتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. Said, and follow a sin with a good deed, it will erase it. If you make a mistake, don't let it define you. Don't let it continue. Cut it off and follow it with a good deed. It will erase it. And number three is, وَخَالِقِ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. Treat people with good character. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's message is so beautifully consistent. He's the one who tells us that taqwa and good character are the heaviest on the scales. And here he is telling Mu'adh ibn Jabal, have taqwa of Allah, show good character to people, erase your sins with good deeds, follow them right after the other. The last question then becomes, how do we become people of taqwa? It's a difficult question. How do we become people of taqwa? But there are a number of things that we can point to. Number one, always, our greatest tool in our toolbox for anything that we want to acquire is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so a person asks Allah to make him of the people of taqwa. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Allahumma inni nas'aluka al-huda wa-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. Oh Allah, we ask you for taqwa, and we ask you for guidance, and we ask you for self-sufficiency, and we ask you for chastity. We ask you for these things. So to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two is to learn about the hereafter. The more a person becomes aware of how transient this life is, the more they become aware of the grave and its terrors, the more they're aware of the Day of Judgment, the more they are familiar with Jannah and Jahannam. I want you to look and just see just the last juz of the Qur'an. Just look at juz Amma and look at how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the hereafter. This chapter of the Qur'an that was going to be the most recited chapter of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much of it is mentioning the hereafter? Al-Qari'ah, إِذَا زُزِّلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. Again and again and again, the hereafter is being reminded to us. Number three is for a person to seek knowledge. Why seek knowledge? Because you cannot have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to what He has forbidden unless you know what is forbidden, unless you're aware of what is required of your deen. And so if a person doesn't invest in learning their religion, then they will never know what to have taqwa in. And number four, and I'll end with this, is that a person do what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He said, to follow a sin with a good deed, it will erase it. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us of the people of taqwa. أقول ما سمعتم واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم سيمن كثيرا. So finally, I'd like to mention that next week, inshallah ta'ala, is we've began the blessed month of Muharram. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to not fast in a month other than Ramadan as much as he fasted in this blessed month of Muharram. It's one of the sacred months. And specifically, we have the day of Ashura, which will fall on next Friday. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I expect that Ashura purifies the sins of the year that preceded. And so it's a day of great opportunity. And it is one that we should encourage ourselves to fast, as well as encourage others to fast as well. And it can be preceded by a day of fasting as well, or it can be followed by a day of fasting as well. So a person can fast on Friday, they can fast on Thursday, they can fast on Friday and Saturday as well. All of that, inshallah ta'ala, may Allah Azza wa Jal accept. We ask Allah to allow us to hear the speech and follow the best of it. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal for paradise and will bring us close to it of actions and speech, and to protect us from the hellfire and will bring us close to it of actions of speech. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah wa ma qarrab ilayha min qawlin wa amal, wa na'udhu bika min an-nar wa ma qarrab ilayha min qawlin wa amal. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha, zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha, anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Allahumma aqsim lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'siyatik, ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا اللهم على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا واجعل الجنة هي دارنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم ارحم موتانا وموت المسلمين واشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.